Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. And it is time for us to take a look at the stars above. So grab your coffee and or tea or water, whatever you're drinking this morning. Sit back and relax and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars. Let me silence my phone as it seems to be going crazy this morning. And I hope everybody is having a good day so far. We finally have the moon out of the void, of course, that it was in all day yesterday and up until partway the day before. So we are ready to do something. We are ready to get busy. We are ready to go somewhere. But unfortunately for us, we also have some really crazy kind of energies going on today with the sun in a square to Uranus. Expect the unexpected. That is about all I can say. I woke up this morning, the unexpected happened right away as I opened my bedroom door, and the cat had had a throwing up fest in my house last night, and unbeknownst to us, thankfully, I stopped before I walked out the door and I turned on a light. So expect the unexpected, right? Because that's what's up for today. Although the moon is in Capricorn, which would seem to mean that things would be more solid, more stable today, I think that that stability is disrupted because the moon, of course, moving through Capricorn is going to conjunct Jupiter. It is in a sextile to Venus and a trine to Uranus. So the sun is square Uranus, the moon is trine Uranus. That seems sort of to equate to a smooth flow of the unexpected and a smooth flow of the awakening or jarring energies of the planet Uranus. So let's see if we can break this down a bit today. I have quite a bit I want to talk about, including going back to some things that we talked about yesterday with the sun at the gate 41 in the Human Design New Year. So let's do a quick check-in with people here as they're coming in this morning to join us. Marissa, good morning to you. Linda Dennis, good morning. Jan says, good morning, Janet, and good morning to everyone joining. She's chipper this morning. I love it. Jacqueline Lopez, good morning to you, and I'm sure there will be others that join us as time goes on here. So let's break this moon down, right? Let's break the moon down in Capricorn. Today, the energies are earthy. They're practical and down to earth. They're business oriented, and also the very grounded energies that we get with the moon moving through the sign of Capricorn. So the moon, of course, represents a lot of emotion and our soul. And Capricorn is a very, very much more stoic sign than a demonstrative sign. So you have a demonstrative planet moving through a stoic sign, coming into contact with all kinds of planets today and tomorrow. So it kind of has this disruptive feel to the field, to the energy of the day. So be prepared, right? I would say be prepared for anything as these planets align to bring us surprises. Now, if we talk about Capricorn itself, it is a sign that represents the substance of something, right? The very essence of something. And that might be something like putting substance behind your goals, your life goals. It might be about becoming more resourceful with the physical things that you have in your life, as well as the things like energy that you really don't see, but you feel right all around you that we tap into. It is about becoming more enduring, staying the course, being perseverant, and also overcoming challenges and obstacles that may be placed in your path. So I wish I could see all of you out there, because I'm going to say, raise your hand if you had weird dreams last night. Remember yesterday we talked about the fact that we might have those weird dreams as we went into the void and then the moon changing signs while we were sleeping. Well, I had a doozy of one this morning, and I'm almost afraid to speak it out loud because it felt so real. But I was in my dream, I was sitting around the waterfront in downtown Seattle, which I never go to very often, but I was there, and there's this park there, and my husband and I were both sort of laying out enjoying the sun. There's no sun right now, but there's a hospital in downtown Seattle, Harborview Hospital, but it wasn't where Harborview is in Seattle. It was more where I was. And all of a sudden, for no reason at all, that hospital started shaking. And I went, oh my God, it's going to collapse. And it kept shaking and shaking, and it fell over into a group of condominiums and apartments that were up sort of on the hill right next to it. And all of them just crumbled to the ground. And we, my husband and I, got up and we were going to run to help the people over there in the hospital, in the rubble. And I looked down at my feet and I had bare feet. I couldn't because my shoes were off. And I told him to put his shoes on and go, and I would go get my shoes. Apparently, I hadn't brought my shoes. So it was quite disturbing, as the motifs of destruction and disruption were very powerful in that dream. So I don't know, sometimes if you're picking up in a dream, you might be picking up the disruption energy of the other people, the collective. It may be a foretelling of something going on here in this part of the world, maybe an earthquake, although I didn't feel the earth moving. It just seemed like the hospital crumbled for some reason, and it started swaying, and that's what caused the problem. What causes a building to sway? Well, a bomb perhaps, or earthquake, high winds, I don't know. Anyway, it was weird. But I got the message out of it that two things. One, a pathway to helping people, even in the midst of something very chaotic that's going on. So those were sort of the themes in that dream. Is it logical to say that that this is truly something that's happening? Hardly, because dreams are symbolic. Usually they're symbols of something that's going on within you. So take your dreams and maybe break them apart a little bit, you know, get it down to the bare symbols and see what it is that your unconscious mind or subconscious mind is speaking to you about. And that's kind of the fun of having dreams, right? Is to be able to look at what it is that its meaning is to you. So, okay, we've got more people joining us. Londa, good morning. Vicky, thanks for coming back this morning. Good to see you. Jan says, must be why I'm chipper. I'm very earthy. good deal. Jacqueline Tyler, it's good to see you. We haven't seen you in a long time. Petra, good morning. Mary, good morning. Trisha Gelder, my soul sister, born on my birthday. Welcome. And Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, good morning to you. And Jacqueline Lopez says, me. Rebecca, good morning. Angela Mather Keel, good morning. That baby is looking ever so cute. She has such a sweet little face. And I love it that you post pictures of her. Kathy Miller, good morning. And Rebecca says, greetings. Asa has joined us. So good morning to all of you. All right, let's continue on with the moon in Capricorn. And if you guys want to share anything that happened in your dreams or symbols that are showing up in your dreams right now, I would be interested to hear about that. Moving on, though, the sign of Capricorn and the moon's transit through it brings up status and authority. In the natural chart, it rules the 10th house, which is the house of your worldly self, how you show up in the world. So that encompasses your reputation, how you claim your authority in the world. Do you stand up and be counted? Your authenticity. How do you show up in expressing your true self? Or is it remaining hidden from sight? So we are all about here finding our true voice and standing up to be counted and really claiming our positions in the world. And when we do that, we are often rewarded, or we gain recognition, or people take notice of who we are. They want to hear us, and they want to, or listen to us is better than just hearing us, listening to us. So the moon in Capricorn brings up, what is your role in society? Who do you want to be? This isn't something, if you're out there in the world doing something that you feel like someone else has dictated to you, right? Following in your father's footsteps, or I know when I was growing up, my dad wanted me to be a court reporter. I could not for one moment see myself sitting still, number one, in a court, you know, in a position of typing on this little machine, for hours on end. I just couldn't do it. And he couldn't understand why I didn't want to do that. But that's the pressure we get put under sometimes by our families, or even by society, that is conditioning us to believe we have to go out and become producers. We have to do the good works, and we have to do. What if you just wanted to be? What if you just wanted to create beautiful music or beautiful art or beautiful dance? All of those things are absolutely wonderful contributions to society. So with the moon moving through Capricorn, we're looking at that. What is our role in society? Is it of my choosing, or did it somehow get put on my shoulders because of a family obligation? So taking a look at that. And of course, then that also leads us to look at the energy of responsibility. Responsibility, although it's spelled with an I, is about being response able, able to be responsive to what is showing up in your world. And in that, there can be related to commitment. What are we committed to? Are we committed to showing up every day? Are we hiding? Are we taking and saying yes to something inappropriately? Are we saying yes and then we're only half-heartedly engaged in it, and then we find ourselves leaping back out of things? So our response ability is teamed up with our commitment to whatever it is that we're doing or to whatever it is that we are engaged in our lives, which then drives our reputation, which also begins to show up here. Because if you're leaping into and leaping out of things immediately, you may be gaining a negative reputation, right? A reputation of being fickle, of not being somebody that people can rely on or count on to be there. So this is also then a moon in Capricorn is also bringing us maturity, and not maturity as necessarily in aging, but in the way that we engage with the outer world, right? That's the bigger thing here. Now you have to watch out for a couple of things with Capricorn energy, because it can lead us down to the road of too serious, right? Remember that Capricorn energy also houses the gate 58 in your human design, which is the gate of joy, vitality, and bliss. So joy and bliss in Capricorn is apropos. It's meant to be. But sometimes we can take that earthy, practical, down-to-earth energy and we can put it to work and we become all too serious. It is also an energy where we have to watch out about authoritarianism, being authoritative rather than standing in your own authority, right? It's a slippery slope because we want to stand in our own authority. And what does that mean? What does it mean to you to stand in your own authority versus being the recipient of someone else's authoritarian way of being, right? Somebody else's authoritarianism. We're on that slippery slope in this country right now, in the world, as more and more authoritarian governments are gaining power. And even in a country like ours, where it's based on democracy, we have this sort of clear-cut pathway going on to shut down people's voices and at the same time have people in government who are just doing whatever they want to and flaunting the laws of the land. So we're in that slippery slope period of time as we're transitioning. Is that the world we want? Or are we going to hold ourselves to that vision that we created in the first place? So we want to watch authoritative or authoritarian behavior, rigid behavior, and also close-mindedness. This is a sign that is, when I think of Capricorn, I think of the defined Ajna. It has certainty, it has purpose, it has a plan, it has a method to its madness. In fact, there's rarely madness. It's just a method. And it's moving forward very clearly and very definitively. And there's nothing wrong with that, except when it gets too rigid or too closed-minded and it can't hear that there's better ways to do something, or that they've gotten off track. So we want to be careful. We want to make sure we're on track, right? Personally, that we're on the right track in our lives. Okay. So I'm going to check real quick, see if anybody shared any whacked out dreams they had or anything weird going on. Everybody can't seem to see you nor hear you. Must be your phone. Must be whatever, because I hear me, I see me. And of course, I'm the only one that counts here, right, Kathy? Judy, good morning. And she says, thank you. And Christian Eros. Christian Del Carpio, good morning. Great to see you. And let's see, Judy Wheeler says, that's very nice of you, Jacqueline. Very good. Okay, so welcome everybody that's joining us. Now let's take a look at what some of the difficult energies are of the day. You could look at this in two ways, right? Expect the unexpected was the title of the show this morning, because the sun is in a square to the planet Uranus. So what is Uranus? The rebel of all of the planets, right? So he operates in a way to reduce our bondage. So he is always seeking the pathway to freedom or to liberation. And he does that through awakening, through shock, through surprise. And sometimes that is what's necessary in order to get us out of the rut that we've made for ourselves. So on a day today with the sun in Aquarius, inventive newness, Uranus territory, it's the sign ruled by Uranus. And then Uranus in Taurus, which is that earth sign, that the it sort of digs in and holds space, and Uranus comes along and wants to dig it up and shake it up a bit. This is a very disruptive energy. So today we could say is disruptive, expect the unexpected, possible conflicts and disagreements with people. Remember, you're hearing me talk about this morning. You're hearing me talk about this, so you're expecting this, or you are at least on the lookout for it. But think of all the people that you come into contact with on a daily basis who have no clue. And that is what you may be up against. Clueless people that create conflict. And then the underlying feeling for all of us with this kind of transit is restlessness. There's this restless spirit within us. And when people come up and bring up conflict, or they trigger us in some way, that restlessness just comes up and spills out very unconsciously. And it can happen in two ways. One, through our voice and the way that we, cut people down, or the things that we do. This is a kind of transit where someone really irritates someone and they haul off and they hit them. And it is also showing up sometimes in accident-prone behaviors. So we want to watch that as well. You get accident-prone when you're containing that restless energy and not letting it out in some way. So it comes out all on its own, right? You've sort of created the accident because of that restless energy that you're not letting out. So we have to be able to break up our routine today, do things a little differently today. Even if it's a rainstorm and you're feeling restless, get your rain clothes on and go for a walk. Anything to break up that pattern today. Because that frustration that you may be feeling is ready to break out, and it is moving up and out and will come out in various ways. Other people's frustrations and angers and upsets will also do that same thing. So we have to be very watchful of this energy today. So the best way to do it, the best way to express it, is to release it on your own without waiting for something else to trigger it. So if you're feeling that restlessness, you're feeling that anger, that impatience, go do something with it, something positive with it, right? Don't just jump out and do the weirdest, oddest things. Do something positive with that impatience. Otherwise, that frustration may come back to bite you in the behind. Coincident with this energy of the sun squaring Uranus is the sun in a sextile to Chiron. Just we need a double dose of craziness today, that's all. The sun in a sextile to Chiron. Remember, Chiron is the wounded healer. He brings up the wounds that we have. So likely maybe a one way you could look at some of the energies of the day is to see what it is that's triggered in you and what part of your wound is that resembling, right? So seek solutions to problems that trigger you today in new and inventive ways. Right? You can't keep doing things the old way. Do you remember Saturn and Pluto at the gate 61, the gate of psychosis, where we keep doing things the same way and expecting a new outcome and it doesn't happen, right? It doesn't happen because that's psychotic. That is madness. That is mental illness. So we have this shadow of mental illness going on the planet. We need to break out of that. One way to do that is to seek new solutions to old problems, seek new ways of being. This is an experiential kind of transit as well, which, it's one thing to have things going on in your mind and to deal with that outflow of that, what's going on in your head. It's quite another when it's experiential, which means that likely it's playing out in your relationships, it's playing out in the outer world. And so the triggers that are happening aren't necessarily things that you've read about or things coming up from within you, but likely something someone outside of you is bringing to you that you are dealing with. So again, it's apply new approaches, right? If you have this one person at work that always triggers you, or your spouse is always triggering you in some way, make a new approach at how you solve that problem, right? Maybe if you are someone who always reacts by verbally, barfing on somebody, then maybe instead of doing that, write it out in a journal. Because in a journal, it's safe, right? You're not hurting anybody's feelings. And often, writing in a journal brings up what the underlying problem is. because you're not worried about what, you know, even when you're reacting to somebody by through words, you know, a part of you is still monitoring what you're saying, and holding back some, hopefully. But in a journal, you don't have to hold back, right? You can just write to your heart's content, but you need new approaches in your life. And that's what these two energies, Sun squaring Uranus and Sun sextile Chiron, together on the same day, might be bringing to you, right? Maybe you've got to break out of that old routine, the old way of responding, the old way of beingness. Get out of it, do something different with your life, with the people in your life. Do something fun and exciting rather than old and routine, breaking out of the rut. Okay, taking a quick look here. Questions. Good morning, Colleen. Great to see you. And Kathy says, oh, we've already read that part. Judy Wheeler, Kristen Page, good morning. Val Jocelyn, good morning. So true, she says, leaving work early and hitting my treadmill when I get home. You know, exercise, that brings up another great point. It's a good way, very positive way even, of de-stressing, of letting go of crazy energy. So I told my husband, I always tell my husband if there's something crazy going on, because he's a Libra and it's easy to get him out of balance. And in his human design, he carries a channel that is about extremes. So he, if someone is going to, if there's a problem, my husband is the sky is falling, the sky is falling person, right? He goes to that nth degree in the way he expresses things. So when something like this is coming up, I always have to tell him that. I remind him that you don't have to react to things, right? Breathe first, maybe take a walk, get outdoors. Get away from the situation until you can come back into your Libra balance and then decide what you do from there instead of reacting to what's happening. So I had a very, you know, brief chat with him this morning as he was walking out the door, because this also reminds me of road rage and energy where you get behind somebody and they're just, you know, slow as can be, and you want to pass them, but you do things unsafely, or you get a ticket because you didn't see the policeman sitting on the corner when you sped up to 60 miles an hour in the 30 mile an hour zone to pass them. So be careful, be wise, be in your body, be response able and not reactive today. And on top of that, we have some fun going on in the outer universe through the Pleiadian Earth energy. We have the five universal day today. Remember, the number represents the universal energy. So no matter what life form you are, and that means other life forms. So what if you are walking along on your day and a dog is irritated and he comes and he wants to bite you, right? So all life forms today are resonating with this energy of five, which is about change and the unexpected. So we have a double dose, a triple dose even, of some unexpected energies today that are pushing us to break out of old patterns and to be different. So the five energy brings up change. It catalyzes change. Yesterday, remember, was the four. We'd come to one of those stopping points where we can be solid and stable and we can breathe a bit, integrating everything from the one, the two, and the 3 day. Well, now we hit the five, and the five triggers change. And it brings up all of those things that we didn't anticipate. So expect the unexpected yet again. But the earth energy of the day is loving energy. So here we temper this a bit with this beautiful energy, which was Lamot in the Mayan calendar. Lamot represented the star Venus, or Venus the planet as we know it. But for the Mayans, it was this beautiful twinkling star, and a lot of their astrology, a lot of their cosmology was built around the planet Venus. Not sure that they knew it was a planet or not, but it was categorized as Lamot and or loving energy in the Pleiadian calendar. And it is a day then that brings up enthusiasm and productivity. We want to get things done. We want to be happy. I noticed, who was it that I said you're rather chipper today? Was that you, Judy or Jacqueline, or I think it was Judy Wheeler. Maybe it wasn't Jacqueline Lopez. I don't remember now. Oh my God, that's so bad. Jan Landry. Jan Landry. So she's all that chipper energy this morning. It is that loving, chipper, enthusiastic energy. But it does have an issue, and it brings up opposing viewpoints into play. So in doing that, it tends to bring us tension of opposites. So I think we could see that in our in the impeachment trial going on, or the trial going on here in this country, where we have these two sides, right? The Democrats and the Republicans, and they're and you know, no one side is seeing the other's viewpoint, and it's like they're mutually like they're totally faced away from one another, and all they can see is what they want to see. There's no compromise going on, no ability to compromise. So energy like today brings that into focus for us, where it is that we are not able to see how, you know, they're just opposite sides of the same coin, that we still have to work together in some way. So we have this opportunity to sort of integrate these opposing viewpoints or these opposing sides in whatever way it is that it's showing up in your personal life today. But it does produce that conflict and that tension within us as we seek to bring that harmony and that balance. But in that tension, it reveals to us sometimes our own bias, right? Our own biases, where it is that we're not willing to see the other side and what our fears might be or what our shadow energies might be. And then it compels us to be more cooperative and less competitive, right? You know, we are all on this planet together. We're playing in this giant sandbox called Earth. We have to be able to get along. So it brings up the potential for cooperation. And it is a time then where we cannot force other people to do what we want them to do. Remember, Moon in Capricorn, authoritative energy not working for us, right? So we have to choose how it is that we can bring people together, even in your own family or your own workplace, to honor one another as opposed to excluding one another, right? All viewpoints are valid. You may not like their viewpoint. You may not, it doesn't mean you have to like their viewpoint, but it does mean that all viewpoints need to be honored. All people and their opinions or their points of view should be honored, right? Because they are intrinsically valuable. And remember then, kindness, compassion, grace, forgiveness, all those energies also come up today through loving energy. And that includes you in that equation, by the way. You know, extending love, kindness, compassion, and grace to yourself, especially if out of some form of trigger today, you know, do exactly what I'm telling you not to do, right? Because it's a possibility. It can happen, right? We're all human. We're all, you know, later we're going to be like, oh, right? But don't beat yourself up. Extend compassion and kindness to yourself as well, because you too are just sitting on this planet learning and evolving and growing and expanding and making mistakes. That's how we do it here. Let's see. Jacqueline, I hope my daughter can. It's hard to explain to teens what's happening to them. Yep, because you're already adding a Uranus rebellion type energy to a teenager. I got to think about this really quick. So there's the Uranus has a pattern in our lives that erupts, if you will, right around teenage years. And you could see it in the skin, right? It erupts in acne often, or you know, those skin breakouts where there's a lot of this energy that they don't have quite the maturity or the even the ability with their minds yet to put it into proper perspective or to do make those right decisions. And so this rebellion pops out in all kinds of different ways, and it's often very difficult time. I had four teenagers. I had four kids, went through four teenagers, two of them girls, two of them boys. The boys were far easier as teenagers than the girls were. And you know, you what you come to is this, you know, appreciation for the maturing that's going on within your teenager, but also the immaturity that's still there and their inability to act like you would in a situation, right? That's the thing. We end up with this expectation that you should know better, right? You're 16, 15, 17 even, and you should know better, but you're still developing at that time. And you're still under the influence, if you will, of this Uranus rebellion that causes the field of energy around you to be chaotic. And it's no surprise then that teenagers make bad decisions or bad choices in their lives because they're learning. Even there's even evidence that the brain doesn't fully mature until you're 25. 25. So what does that say about us taking people that are 17, 18 and charging them as adults in crimes when they're clearly in still under the field of that rebellion energy, that foggy, not able to make good choices, my brain isn't even fully developed yet kind of energy. So it's just interesting to think about it that way. Jacqueline says, I'm a Libra moon with 1 degree. Oh, so easy to get out of balance then. You're a true Libra, as in you're in the first 10 degrees of Libra, and the decan that is expressed in those first 10 degrees is Libra. So Libra, Libra. Colleen, both my children are Libras. So much drama when they're out of balance. My son more than my daughter. Honey, I know. I have a Libra son. I've got a Libra was, I think every boyfriend I had was a Libra. Every boyfriend I had, and then I eventually marry a Libra. Craziness, right? Like it was a foregone conclusion. I was going to have a Libra in my life some way or another. And then I gave birth to one who is just like his dad, which is crazy, but it's so funny. So yes, Libras tend to get out of balance, especially when on a day like today, even though this isn't technically any kind of Libra energy, this isn't Libra anything, but it does seek to unbalance people, because when we're off balance, then we are awakened. We can become more conscious and more aware. That's the whole purpose, to become more aware and less reactive, right? So have fun with that today. And Judy says, yes, that's a good way to work out your pressure and problems, is to write it down, and you'll see for yourself what you can do instead of doing reactive type things. Yeah. So I have books of, there I put them away, of things that I've written, right? And I put them away. I don't even know why I keep them really, but I do. And, sometimes you just have to write it all out, all your frustrations and all of the anger, all of the joy sometimes gets written on those pages as well. Crystal Berry, good morning. And Jacqueline says, oh, wow, that's crazy. My grandson has a rash. They do not know what it is. Judy Wheeler, I'm a Sagittarius with both children being Geminis. So, you know, good thing, because Geminis are going to be better with this energy of change and the unexpected, because they tend to be more adaptable and more versatile, more mutable. So they're okay with change. It's more the fixed signs that have problems. Your Taurus, your Cancers, your Leos, and your Scorpios, they're going to have a little more trouble because they're more fixed in their approaches. And like things to go their way. And when things don't go their way, that often triggers some problems. And guess what? You all have those signs somewhere in your chart. So you have that energy that gets expressed at times, whatever planet might be there, or when the moon is moving through one of those kinds of signs, you get triggered with that. Rashes, Jacqueline. So rashes are interesting to look at because it's often heat coming out of the body. And it can be Uranus that is triggering that heat. It can be a planet in your grandson's chart that is a transiting planet passing over his natal Uranus. It can be something, often it comes out and then it goes away. So rashes are one of those things that are so hard to really pin down unless you know for sure this child is allergic to cat hair and he's come in contact to a cat. So we've got to watch out for overreacting to Uranus health issues, but sometimes it's kind of crazy. Like one, I was having a progressed sun conjunct Uranus. fun. And I kept breaking out right here around my eyes. And I thought it was the makeup I was wearing. I thought it was my mascara. I thought all kinds of different, my makeup removers. But nothing was new, right? Nothing there was new. Nothing should have been triggering anything for me. And then just as quickly as all of that was happening, it went away. So Uranus sometimes just does things out of the blue. You don't expect it. And then it goes away equally as fast. But always worth getting checked out, because as a child, of course, you don't know exactly what it is that's going on. And Judy was born on Thanksgiving 11. So that's the Sagittarius thing there. That's awesome. Jacqueline says, I'm a Taurus sun, Libra moon, and Gemini rising. Now I know why they might look at me like I'm crazy. Jan says, that's me, Taurus sun and Cancer rising is still about things going my way, fixed and stubborn. Right. Fixed and stubborn. Somebody told me one time that I was stubborn, and I looked at them like they had two heads, because I didn't feel like I was stubborn. I just felt like I was persevering, right? I was sticking with it. Sometimes I guess that can be stubborn. So, all right. Now, if you don't have any other questions about the things that we've been talking about, I want to go through a couple of things that came up yesterday as I was thinking about the sun and the gate 41. So when we are looking ahead at the year, we saw this also already in astrology, that there was a lot of potential for disruption and discord and things like that. In human design, it is also very visible that we have disruption, distortion, and distraction. So disruption, distortion, and distraction. So what happens often in that outer world is something happens over here that distracts you from what's going on over here. And we see it here in the US all the time. I'm sure others of you in other countries have that same thing where, maybe somebody's in real big trouble over here and everybody's focused on that. And then something else happens that takes and distracts everybody's attention. And so now you're focusing over here. This person feels like they can breathe a little because no one's focusing on them anymore. So distraction, distortion, because we're not seeing clearly. We're still seeing very much through the shadow frequencies. And yet we're on in this process of evolving. So the frequency patterns are getting blurry or getting distorted, right? There's this interference wave that has set up between the shadow expression of the energies and the gift expression of the energies, or at least that's how I view this, in that there's this discord. It's creating this wobbling effect. Maybe that's what the building was doing in my dream, because it seems like it was, starting to shake, moving back and forth before it actually imploded, exploded, fell over, whatever. And that's the feeling that I'm getting, is that out of this discord, out of this distraction, comes this distortion where we don't see clearly what's going on. And often that means that we're not going to see that until, it's 2020 hindsight, right? Hindsight is 2020. So we may not in the moment be able to see what that distortion and that disruption is bringing us, but 10 years from now, when we look back, we'll go, oh, that's what it was all about, right? That out of that distortion comes this ability to change and to evolve. And so remember yesterday we were talking about the gate 41 or the gene key 41. You can call it either one. That is the start codon. It represents the start codon in your DNA. And that codes the body then to begin building something. So if the body's it's RNA that reads the DNA, right? So that's very biological, but the RNA is reading the DNA, and then messenger RNA sends that out to the cells and tells the cells what to do with that new template that's being built. So when that code is comes to the start codon, it cues the body in to the it's time to start building something. That might be building new liver cells, it might be building new brain cells, it might be instituting an immune response, but it is in your DNA where these start codons create the process of building. And then, like the front door key, it unlocks then the rest of the code. So we can look at then gate 41 in our charts as the key to unlock the door so that we can build what it is that we are here to build. That might mean in embracing your life purpose and your destiny. So that start codon gives you an in to the code that you're here to do, right? But the shadow energy is holding sway on the planet. So the shadow in this gate happens to be fantasy, right? Where it's like we have the key to our dreams, but we fail to put it in the lock, or we put it in the lock, but we don't turn the key. So we've got it, right? We all have it. And we might have even put the key in the lock. We've just failed to turn the lock to unlock it and open up the door, or open up to what comes next. So the shadow frequency, this fantasy that we have, is this imagination, this creative energy, consequently, that stays stuck in the head, if you will, or stuck in the body without ever getting expressed outward into the world. And the power in this shadow of fantasy is so prevalent, right? We see it everywhere. It is in the collective, and we see it through people who cannot make their dreams come true. They give up on their lives, or they give up on themselves, or they give up on ever having anything good in life, and then they circle the drain, right? And you have to remember something. The gate 41 is actually on the root center. The root center is a pressure center. Remember, a week or so ago, we were talking about the pressure centers. One is the head center, and it's the pressure to answer questions. And we've got Pluto and Saturn and eventually Jupiter sitting up there. So we've got a lot of pressure already to answer questions like, what's going on here? Why is this happening? Why haven't we evolved? Blah, 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 blah. But we also have this pressure now on the root center, which is the pressure to do, right? This is a very action-oriented center. It is one of the motors in your human design. And as such, as a motor, it brings us to the pressure to go out into the world with our ideas, with our dreams, and to take action on it. So the pressure to evolve is the pressure that we really are experiencing, because our doing is about how we grow and evolve in our lives, right? Everything we do, presumably, is an action, is a forward step to our evolution, to increasing our consciousness of our evolution. But it gets distorted here because the shadow expression becomes the pressure to feel happy. So instead of chasing your dream because it's a dream that needs to be expressed, we end up chasing happiness. Happiness is what? Right? Maybe. Well, if you watch commercials, it's, you know, the next drug, it's a new car, it's a vacation, it's buying a new house, it's investing money, it's, you know, commercials, think about it. It's a new phone, new device. So we have a lot of pressure to express ourselves out into the world, to express our imagination, and to bring out the best of us. That gets caught up in the shadow of fantasy, where we fail to turn the key in the lock to open the door, and instead we end up caught up in the collective frenzy to find happiness. And it's misplaced here, right? This isn't, you're not here to find happiness. You're here because it's not outside of you. You can't find it out there. You have to find it in here, inside. Right? That's why joy and vitality are also energies that sit on the root center, not the emotional center, right? They're sitting on the root center. It's the pressure, and we push ourselves out into the world to find it, only to discover that we held the key inside all along, right? That's kind of the transits that we're going through with that. Now, at the same time that the sun will be at the gate 41, the earth will be at the gate 31. And the gate 31 is an interesting gate. It sits actually on your identity center, and it's reaching up to the throat center. So it is one of the gates that we think of as a compass gate within us. And the gate there, that the gate 31 is one of the gates of leadership energy. And leadership energy is here the low shadow of arrogance, right? Arrogance, we could go even to narcissism. We could go into a lot of directions with the shadow energy in this gate. What it's really calling for is leadership energy, leadership. And you may have leaders that have no ability to be leaders, right? You can have leaders in positions of power, but they have no leadership skills. I think that's very clear, right? We have that a lot of places around the world. We have leaders in place that have no leadership abilities, and instead are leaning into arrogance and claiming powers that aren't theirs. And they are in the highest expression leading toward humility, right? That's the earth energy, is that in out of our humbleness, where we are elected to lead whoever that might be, is that we have the expectation then of leadership. Leadership and being a leader are not the same thing, right? Because we can, you know, there was a lot of expectation in any election. There's an expectation that that person is going to go out and they're going to be good leaders, right? They're going to provide us with leadership. And then they go out there and they fall apart, right? Because they get into that field of arrogance. So that's what the earth will be bringing for us as we go into the new human design year. Now, all of you, by the way, have your gate 41 and gate 31 in your charts. It's not that you don't have it. It might be white. Let me see if I pull out a human design chart here. I had one yesterday, so let's see. I might have it close by here. Aha. Here's a human design chart from yesterday. I'm going to move my coffee before I wear it. So here's a human design chart. The gate 41, remember, is down here at the corner of the bottom right corner of the root center, and it's moving this direction. And the gate 31 is up here, right there on the identity center, and it's moving up to meet the throat. So in your chart, you've got to look at the energies that are available right there in those two places. So for example, you could have, do I want to draw on this? You could have the gate 41 already defined. It might be red, it might be black, or it might be striped. The gate 41 being the one that's down on the root center. And then it's open at the other end. So you are always, you have a lot of imagination and a lot of creative energy that seeks an outlet. It's hanging there until there's another person in your life that can help you bring that desire to fruition, that can bring that kind of acts like the magnet that pulls that creative energy out. That's when you have the gate 41 hanging. And hanging means it doesn't connect to the other side of at the gate 30. Now you may have that whole channel filled in, right? You may have that whole channel filled in, and this is already a struggle that you have in your life, right? That it's already a part of who you are to struggle to bring your creative imagination out into the world and to turn that key in the lock, right? You might already have a defined way in which you do that. Your problem may be in not being able to see that there are other ways that things can happen. If you have that gate 41 and it's white, it's open, and you have the gate 30 at the other end defined, then what you have is suddenly the sun filling in that complete channel. And again, then what you're dealing with in that situation is the energy to really fulfill some desires, right? To get those desires out into the world, right? It's like an opening for you, right? Suddenly, boom, you have that creative imagination, that idea, that aha. And there's other parts of your chart that we would look at to get a fuller picture of what's going on, but the potential is for that new expression of energy, of imagination and creativity to jump out. And others of you may have that whole channel open, and then during the next week, you have suddenly gate 41 hanging there. Now you have that creative imagining, and you need someone to help you place it out there in the world in the right way. So that means you might need to be out and about, right? Out in the world. If you're a hermit profile, you won't be able to just stay at home and have that fulfilled. Likely, you're going to need to get out. You're going to have people that help bring that together for you. And the same thing going on with the gate 31 to the gate, sorry, gate 31 actually is the one that's on the throat center. The gate 7 is on the identity center. So now we have manifesting energy. We have communication energy. And this is where the 31 can take over leadership even when they haven't been invited or elected to do so. So we want to be careful in our relationships that we don't just take over, right? This is on the throat. So the throat works best via invitation. Those of you out there who are projectors, you are probably very aware of how invitation works and are always in a waiting for that invitation. Well, the throat center works very much the same way. Whether you have it open or defined, it works best when your voice, your words are invited out of you. When someone says, hey, I want to hear what you have to say, or you're invited to be the leader. You can't just walk in and take over, right? That's the danger in that. that of someone just coming in and taking over, usurping power, breaking rules and regulations, and doing things as a maverick rather than what they were elected to do, or what they, or taking over the leadership when they haven't been elected to do that, or asked to do that, or invited to do that. So 31 is tricky. And remember, the earth always brings up the tension, because we're planted here on the earth, right? It's bringing up the tension to fulfill the sun. So the sun bringing the light, the earth bringing the opportunity, and between the two, they're evolving energy. So in our creative imagination, what kind of leaders do we want in our world? What kind of leader do you want to be? So we bring those together in an interesting way during this particular new year, right? That's the new year energy, if you will. And of course, I'm going to bring more up about this over the next couple of days as we are transiting through this information. There's more, of course, than the sun. There's more, of course, than the earth. They just form the processes through which the first day of the first week of the new year, Human Design New Year, sets us up. It's the seeds that are planting in the first quarter of the year that begin. Then we also have all of the outer planets that are slower moving, so they tend to stay in a specific area. We also have Mars this year that is doing a dance in its retrograde, in his retrograde, moving through the during the retrograde from about June 27th to the end of the year in the sign of Aries, moving back and forth through very tricky energy, both in astrology and in your human design. So we want to break that down. And also Venus, it occurred to me this morning that Venus is also retrograde this year. And I want to take a look at the gates that she will retrograde across, because that's really going to be more pointing us to where our values are and what, how we need to show up in our relationships. So I'll be breaking more and more of that down for you. I just want to make sure that you all have an understanding of where the sun is at the beginning of this cycle and where the earth is at the beginning of the cycle. Okay, questions, comments. I have one Pisces son like me, and my daughter and eldest son are both Aquarians. Yes, that's right. Birthday's coming up. Monique Alexander, good morning. And Judy says, what does a waning moon mean? A waning moon is a moon that is getting smaller. So it's past the time of the full moon, and it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Its energy is waning. It's waning right now, right? We have a waning moon because it's getting smaller and smaller. It's leading us to the new moon on Friday. Then the moon begins to wax, right? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger after the new moon until it comes to its culmination at the full moon. And then it begins to wane once more. So we have waxing and waning, waxing and waning. That's a consistent cycle that goes on with the moon. Londa, rashes, psoriasis, eruptions in the skin is too much fire in the system. There we go. The digestive system's in part of the water matrix. So then there's an imbalance in digestion. How is one digesting life? Stressors. Water puts out the fire. Kidneys, bladder, water glands holding fears, traumas in one's core. Very much true. And you know what's interesting about that? Yesterday, Londa, I was on, what is that site? The Good News Network, I think it is. And what drew me to it was I get the updates of the good news that's going on in the world. One of the good news stories was about the effect that probiotics have on people who've got Parkinson's disease. In some cases, even just putting the good flora back in the gut, it reduced the symptoms of Parkinson's, and even started to reverse the changes that had happened in the brain that trigger Parkinson's. What? Amazing, right? Probiotics. And if it can have the power to reverse something like that, or the potential to do that, there was one particular probiotic, and it was Bacillus subtilis. And I was checking, so I went, of course, I was going to buy probiotics. And I started looking at all the products out there on the market to make sure that they had that. And believe it or not, there are some products that have like billions of microns of probiotics that, and you need someone upwards of 15 billion of these things to really populate the gut. And it's amazing all of the things that can happen in the body to upset the balance of the good flora in your body. And one of them, of course, is stress. And haven't we all been under a lot of stress, right? Even minor stress over a long period of time can be a negative, have a negative effect on your digestive system. It's so amazing, right? That our digestive system has such power. And I remembered as I was reading this yesterday, I was thinking about another article I read a couple of years back about people who have had their appendixes removed, appendix removed, because there's a thought that perhaps the appendix is a producer of the good gut flora. And even though we think, oh, well, that's not a major, big thing in the body and it's okay to lose the appendix, your body then loses the ability in some ways to repopulate the gut. So when the gut comes under attack from a virus, maybe a stomach virus or, diarrhea or constipation or stressors or antibiotics are a huge impact stressor on your gut, that it depletes the body of the natural probiotics, the natural flora that live there. And without an appendix, it's a possibility that you can't even resupply the gut. So you go into a consistent depletion as opposed to anything that's replenishing. So having to take probiotics could be the pathway to better health in all ways. It was amazing how it affects the skin, it affects your body's immune response, it affects everything in your body, how the liver functions, how the stomach functions. It's amazing. Probiotics. I'm going to become a probiotic proponent. Marissa, so 31 completes the channel for me. My seven is striped black and red. So you already have the energy of the seven. So when the earth moves through 31, it will be complete, the complete channel of leadership. The complete channel of leadership. What are you being asked to step up to? That would be a good question. Londa, love you, gotta go. Love you too. See you later, Londa. Jacqueline, mine is red and hanging. So everybody has, there's all of these different combinations around those centers, and it becomes very personal then as to what is going to happen for you in that way. Jacqueline, mine is defined. And oh wow, that's amazing. It is to me, it's so amazing. Marissa, I'm healing my digestive system. It's been out of sync for some time because of stress. I was amazed at how it has affected so much for me health-wise. Maybe try some probiotics for yourself. I went on to Amazon because that's where I like to get those kinds of things, or because you can read reviews and all of that. And of course, I always look for organic and non-GMO and, made with vegetarian, supplements and all that kind of good stuff. That's good stuff for the body. And I found one that was like $39 for 90 tablets or 90 capsules. So it's not that expensive as all things go, right? It's not that expensive. And I don't know that we eat enough of the good things that have probiotics in it to repopulate our gut without doing that. So for the short term, you may need to rely on repopulating through probiotics. Anyway, and you start out with like one tablet a day or one capsule a day until you build up to three a day. And I don't, I didn't, I'm gonna, I would talk to my health professional first, just to make sure it's something that I wouldn't be overdoing, by going up to three in a day. That seems a lot to me, but I do have my appendix. Maybe if you're out there and you don't have an appendix, you might need that three a day. So it's just an interesting thought, right? And, there's also in that same article, there was something amazing from a company. Go to viome.com. So I'm going to type that in here because it was V as in Victor, Viome. Did I spell that right? Dot com. Did that pop up? Yep. Because there is a test that you can take that will tell you what, we all believe that we're eating good foods, right? We're eating kale, we're eating broccoli, we're eating cabbage, we're eating, good stuff. But what if those good things are actually the trigger in your digestive system for negative expressions? Like your body doesn't tolerate it, right? And you think you're doing what's healthy for you, and maybe you're on the keto diet, so you're eating a lot of protein and not a lot of vegetables and protein versus fats or I mean fats and are you're cutting out the carbs, blah, blah, blah. But what if your body doesn't take care, digest proteins the same way you think it's going to digest them? So this man whose father, this doctor whose father died from pancreatic cancer, and he got irritated by that. He was mad and upset. He said, "That's not going to happen to other people. I'm going to set out to find out what is going on in the digestive systems." So he developed this test that you can take that determines, tells how your biochemistry is working and how it would support the foods you're eating or not. So you might be eating all these great things, but still not finding your health improving, or that maybe you have worse digestive troubles, and it's because your body doesn't break down the ingredients in a way that it can use that product in your body, or in a healthy way. So getting it's down to like $129 to have this test done. And it comes back with a printout for you of all of the things in specific. There's like 10 categories of things that you can discover by doing this test. And, for those of you who've been on yo-yo diets all your life, or you're struggling with weight, or maybe you're struggling to stay healthy, maybe you are eating right, but you still don't feel energetic, like you. Why not? $129 right now, it's $129. If you go to your doctor and you have your doctor do something like that, it is a test that would likely cost upwards of $5,000 to your insurance. So $129 versus $5,000. I don't know. I would think the $129 is a better way to do it. Now, again, check it out for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Go to this website, viome.com, and check it out. Read about it, do some research, see if it feels right for you. I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you that when I find something like that, I love to share it, because so often our medical doctors are throwing things at us to treat symptoms. What if we could get to the cause, right? And this simple test may be able to get to the cause of some of your digestive disruption. All right. Well, that is it for me today. I'm going to take a quick look. Judy says, "I have IBS and Crohn's. I had a lot of stressful work days. I've had my appendix removed and it seems to help some." Yay. What you mean? I'm not sure if you say, or you're saying that probiotics has worked for you or not, but it certainly sounds like it might be worth it to try. All right, guys, take care. Have a great day. I will see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Have a good one. Bye for now.